You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Man, I haven't heard that song in so long, Bill.
Like a sweet symphony.
Like
in my ears.
Symphony.
In my ears.
Busting out some old 90s music. Well done, sir.
Sweet symphony.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there.
By Verb Pipe or something like that.
That was a bittersweet symphony.
That was. This is not bitter. No. This is good. It's good to be back with you, man. How are you doing, Bill?
It feels like we are shaking the dust off.
Yeah.
And we're moving forward. I'm so excited about what God has. It's so good to see your faces again. Kyle,
hello.
We are glad to see you.
Producer's back in the house.
You didn't put your picture up because no one else could see you.
Hey, if you stumbled on this and you didn't pick it up from the video, this is Known Legacy, and this is a bunch of guys that get together. We just talk about life, faith, and what it means to be a man in today's culture.
Yes.
If you want to, follow us on Facebook. We'd love that. You'll see videos on the website, knownlegacy.org.
Yep.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or doctrinal questions, email bill@knownlegacy.org. And if you just want to give us a review, 5 stars are always welcome. 4s are tolerable. And 3, we'll hunt you down.
We
won't do that.
Not a chance. But we are grateful. So check us out on there. We'd love to stay connected with you, knownlegacy.org. And, man, we are so excited to be back on and kicking off some more podcasting.
Okay, so many of you who listen may not know this, but we do the recording in McKinney, Texas. And I live in basically Argyle, Texas, which is about an hour and a half drive from here, depending on traffic through the Metroplex. And so I got on the road about 8 o'clock this morning. I'm just listening to my Gen X jams, is what I call them, Gen X jams.
That's awesome.
And right as I'm pulling into McKinney, a song comes on, and I turn it up as loud as it'll go in my car. I know I gave all the wrong vibes driving through McKinney. I know I did. But as I'm listening to the song, I realize this may be the defining song of my generation, which is the Gen X generation.
Okay.
And so I started thinking through. I was like, okay, what were some other songs that would fit in there? I think Alanis Morissette, Isn't It Ironic, would be one of those songs that would kind of fit in there.
Don't you think?
Just a little bit ironic.
A little too ironic.
From the boomer in the corner. I think Creep would be another one from Radiohead.
Yeah,
I think that's a great one. But this one, I think, just absolutely. So the question today is, for your generation, what is the song that you would say defines your generation? So the song for me that I was listening to is by Smashing Pumpkins, and it's Cherub Rock. And I think it's just this sonic angst and noise, and it has this heavy metal kind of vibe and feel to it.
Yeah.
But you have this very mellow kind of, you know, Bill is singing, money. It's just this
super
dichotomy of what's going on. And I'm like, that was me growing up. That defines. So if you're listening, download it, listen to it at 11. Turn it up to 11.
It goes to 11.
11. And
they're making a sequel, by the way.
No, they're not.
I'm so excited
they are.
About this.
Spinal Tap is making a sequel?
Yes.
That was worth you listening to today, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
Anyway, so that's for me. What about you guys? What's a defining song for your generation? And you got to tell what generation you're from.
I would I was born in 79. But I'm really like a 90s kid, and my brother was like 80s all the way. So I kind of had a plethora of music. A plethora? Yes. Yeah, I threw on some Three Amigos.
I do not know if you know what that means.
Never. Anyways, so I would say, as I was thinking about this, I would say Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. Like that, like rock kind of. But my problem is I listen to a lot of acoustic stuff too.
Right.
So like I went back to like kind of like Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, and Dave Matthews. And so I don't know. I'm still thinking, so I may have to tag back. But the one that came to mind was Smells Like Teen Spirit, because I think that was like at my teenage angst.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what he was saying at the time, but I was like, you know, and you're just like,
What was that again?
you only get one here, remember? We talked about this. You only get one. And so I think there was something in that, but let me keep thinking, because there was an acoustic side of that too that I think I would like. So go for it.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, because being a boomer, my generation had the best music. And let me defend this. Every band out there still touring today is from my generation.
It's because you guys are the ones with money. No one else has money anymore.
I mean, Foreigner, that's true, that's Six, Journey, Kiss. I mean, you go on down the list. I mean, when I was in high school, I didn't realize that, I mean, we had all these super band, power bands, you know, Supertramp, ELO, on and on and on. Most of them are still touring.
That's crazy.
And this came up the other night at dinner with my son. And he's like, you know, Dad, why are they still playing all those songs? And it's because they don't make that kind of music anymore.
No, they don't.
Not
agreed,
a chance.
Agreed.
And all the other artists from every other generation, every decade since then, you don't hear it on the radio. Very rarely.
Agreed.
So to pick one song from all that to define it, it's almost impossible.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
That is the most boomer answer I could ever imagine. It was the best, but I'm not going to decide what was.
Which was the best.
I can pick from 20 of them.
I'm just going to ride the line.
Hotel California.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
That was, yeah. Okay.
It was on a dark desert highway.
He just slapped the Gen X into place.
Smacked
well done,
it
boomer.
In the face.
Well
good
done.
Job.
Well done.
Good job.
All right, Zeniel, what do you got? Anything else?
Yeah. You know, the other thing that came to mind was Steve Miller Band, but it was just like.
But that's his generation.
I know. When he said that, I was like, crud, I guess I really liked a lot of those. I think Name from Goo Goo Dolls, Name was another
really?
One. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that's probably it. But I think all that, like, because at that moment, because I was going to say something from Dave Matthews, like I really liked Satellite was another good one.
Satellite.
Yeah, and so no one knew the words of these songs. We're all just kind of dancing around and all that stuff. And so anyways, but it was just, I would say those are kind of the songs that kind of spoke to me.
Fantastic.
So, but we do have a guest who might have an answer for us
as well.
I would love to hear what he thinks. And today we have Kelly on, who is the founder of Soldiers for Faith. Kelly, so glad to have you on today. Our studio audience is so glad to have you here.
There's a lot of them here today.
There are a lot of them. So, hey, listen, we have that question. I don't know if you could answer that question from your generation, but do you have an answer for that?
I'm going to go farther back than Kyle. The first concert I ever saw was the Monkees at the Steel Pier in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Wow.
I'm not putting the Monkees in that category, but yeah.
Hey.
that's how old I am. You know what? Tom Petty, American Girl, is definitely an iconic song.
Yeah.
Fantastic choice.
Yeah.
Well done.
Ridgemont High.
There are so many. Oh yeah.
There's so many good ones. Yeah. Well, yeah, we are, again, thank you for that. I know there's those moments you drive and you hear those songs, you get in there, but man, yeah, it feels good to have a few songs like that in your repertoire that you can hold on to. So good stuff. But Kelly, we're so glad to have you on today and so excited to have you back, because you had shared on this one time before about what you did with Soldiers for Faith and kind of getting that created, and how your sons, you know, when they were going to college and you were like, I want to still spend time with them. But today I'd love to talk more into that, because, man, Soldiers for Faith has really kind of blown up in a great way and impacted a lot of people. And I would love to know kind of where you took it from that initial Bible study to, hey, wait a minute, there's other people that want this. If you could share a little bit more about that today, we'd love to hear some of your wisdom and kind of where that journey brought you from.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I'm let me know if I'm lagging at all, Bill, in this. I'm up in a bunker in the middle of Tennessee. Hopefully nobody knows where I'm at. Me, my simulator, and you know, my Bible.
That's awesome.
But you know, like we had talked about earlier, you know, such an embarrassingly simple and overly obvious scenario of doing Bible studies over the phone, and the fact that it really didn't go anywhere. The ministry really didn't go anywhere, but God was kind of really pressing on my heart to stay with it. You know, we had a Bible study with my sons first over the phone because they were in different parts of the country. We started up a second one that was mostly family members. And then somebody asked for a third one. And, you know, in this kind of thing, in what the ministry was doing with Bible studies over the phone, it maybe grew to 8 Bible studies a week.
Wow.
But I'm saying it stayed like that for 10 years, and people would come up and say, you know, what are you doing? You know, where Soldiers for Faith going? What are you doing with it? My answer would always be the same. I have no idea where we're going, but I know we're not lost. And, you know, it was kind of a just God's direction, man. You're just marching forward. I think about the Israelites, you know, and the way to the promised land. And, you know, God took them the long way around. And it felt like that was the case with the ministry initially.
Mm. I love that phrase. I don't know where we're going, but I know we're not lost. That is a fantastic phrase. I think is encouraging to a lot of people in their faith because it can feel stagnant. It can feel like you're stuck. And just to have that word of saying, man, I don't know what the next step is, but I know I'm not lost because I'm in the presence of God. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because I think in that wandering, there is this moment of just kind of, I think there's a lot of doubt that can walk in with a lot of people. And I think that's where most people give up. You know, it's even like the idea, like the statistic of like, hey, most jobs or most people who start a business, I think are done in like 18 months.
Right.
And there's that time. Mm-hmm. And so 10 years. So can you walk through some of that in your heart of what kept you taking the next step in those 10 years?
You know, it's impact. I think we get caught up in measuring all of us, especially men, man, we're competitive. You know, we get real competitive and we want to win. And we think about the church down the street, how big it is, or the ministry up the road and how big it is. And, you know, and it's easy to forget that the impact, even sometimes from a small worldly standpoint, the impact is great, and the impact can be great for 2, 3, 5, 8 people. It's really just honestly getting away from the man-made measurement of what is successful in the kingdom versus what's successful in the world.
Mm.
So it felt right. You know, it felt like we were really having impact. There were a lot of folks that were joining the call. We had a woman with MS. And she had never been to church, could not get to church. She was bedridden. Somebody invited her to be on the call. This woman gave her life to the Lord. About 10 of us drove and flew to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Baptized her.
And that's awesome.
She stayed on that Bible study until the day she went home to Jesus. And there were a ton of stories like that happening. Yet from a standpoint, the numbers weren't what anybody would say, wow, that's a thriving ministry. But was it? That was the question you ask yourself. Was it a thriving ministry? You know, it just felt like it's what we were supposed to do.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, I had a conversation with a pastor, and he had said, man, he goes, I remember, he goes, he's part of one of those, just groups, whether it's like the Pentecostal, Evangelical, Free, Baptist, whatever, all those kind of things. And every year they have to kind of make mark of how many baptisms, how many, all those kind of things. And I remember sitting with him going, Bill, it was so frustrating because I'm sitting there and I have to write down how many baptisms do you have this year? And he said, and here we go, we got, Tom. Just say for the sake of that, Tom. I've been walking with this guy. He said, I'm walking with this guy for like 2 years. He was an alcoholic when he started. He stopped drinking. He started going to his kids' ball games. He started engaging the heart of his wife, started coming to church. He got saved. We ended up getting him, plugged into the ministries and all these kind of things. He's doing security at the church. And then he gets baptized. One. And they're like, oh, you've had one baptism? and you're like, no. Like, I think that's what I would love you to speak into, brother, because so many times, and talk to the heart of the ministry leader who's out there, who's just being faithful and is just trying to, man, God called me here, but I'm not seeing the quote unquote tangible fruit, that everyone around me saying that I should see. Speak into that heart for a minute, because after 10 years of doing this, I believe you have the authority to speak into those guys' lives. Can you do that for just a minute and share with them kind of what you went through and how they and what real success looks like?
Yeah.
Right on, bro. That's a great question. The, it was 10 years of that. And again, man, just marching forward. I had been blessed enough by God to have built some things in the past, an AAU program in Virginia. I've been involved in business, and, God has blessed that in building it kind of from small origins. Mm-hmm. So I just saw God's pattern that be faithful, man, be faithful, be faithful. And it was 10 years of what I just described. And then now, can I be provocative on this podcast, Bill?
Guys? You certainly can.
Yes, we relish that, actually.
Yeah, I don't use the word COVID, man, because in my mind, COVID didn't whack out anything, man. The lockdowns did. And when the lockdowns happened, when the lockdowns happened, everything changed. For all that time, for 10 years, I'm saying, Lord, we're doing what I think you want us to do. We're just marching forward. Nothing seems to be happening. And we had done some things, our ministry charge is from the book of John, the first chapter, when Philip goes to Nathaniel and he says, we have found the one Moses and the prophets spoke of, come and see. So we want people to come and see. And when you open up his word, man, there he is. Mm. And so that was our charge. So 10 years of this, pretty steady. We would do some Christian concerts, things like that.
Yep.
Festivals. And the whole purpose of the music was just to get people interested to come and see. We did some other things along those lines as well. And were they really taking root or have an impact? I don't know. What I will say is when the lockdowns happened, after 10 years of what we were doing, all of a sudden we understood, okay, we have been prepared for this day.
Wow.
And it was when the lockdowns happened, that's when Soldiers for Faith, when God said, okay, I've taken 10 years to prepare you. I've taken 10 years to make sure you were doing the things I need you to do to serve me. You have a good foundation. Now is the time for this ministry. And when they happened, guys, the ministry blew up. All of a sudden, people were looking for a ministry that they could reach while they were isolated in their own homes. They were looking for fellowship while they were isolated in their own homes. And it was just unbelievable how God's plan, how perfect it was. And even the long road we took, how it was absolutely necessary for us to be ready for what took place.
And I love the fact that it was, while you were being faithful, the actual culmination of that faithfulness was completely out of your control. And I think that's another thing that men struggle with, is we feel like we have to manufacture it, or somehow we have to earn it, or somehow we have to be to make it happen. And you just happened to be the right place at the right time with the right heart that God forged over 10 years of faithfulness, that at that moment God was like, it's not that you're ready, it's I have you in the wings for this moment that I knew from the beginning of time was going to happen. And so go.
You know, there's a phrase that one of our good friends, both of our good friends, Chad Mattson, always says. He goes, God doesn't move quickly, but he moves suddenly. And I think there's a lot of that in that faithfulness of 10 years of just going, nope, this is what God called me. And I think it is almost, and what I'm hearing from you, Kelly, which I love, is this idea of almost putting blinders on in the world's view and going, no, God called me to this.
Right on.
And this may not make sense, but I'm going to just do this. And everyone else is going, well, wait a minute, but it's not producing what we want in 6 months, 8 months, 10, you know. He's like, no, God called me to this. And I love the faithfulness. And so I think for the heart of the individual who's out there, because again, I'm getting the privilege to spend with more amazing warriors who are the silent warriors in little churches, over 25 and 35 and 50 people over the course of 20 years, that are going, I know that I'm called to do this, but man, is it weary.
Right.
Because nobody is raising the banner for those guys to go, you're doing exactly what you're called to do.
Right.
And for such a time, am I going to use this? And so that is huge that you were saying, after 10 years, I'm going to continue to just be faithful to this.
Yeah, I think God calls us to faithfulness, not worldly success. And that's the lie that we often buy into, is that we need to produce worldly success, which often leads to these very large, successful men falling from grace. And all of a sudden they've been in a church for 10 years and it's removed because of some moral failing or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you lost your first love. And that's just, be faithful to the one who calls you by name, who knows you, who knows your junk, and still loves you, you know?
Yeah. You know, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah, I would say, I would say that, you know, and you think about it, if somebody was to say, you know, what are the top 10 most impactful ministries? The answer would be, you know, Samaritan's Purse, Compassion International, you know, these groups that have just an incredible amount, and those they are absolutely noble ministries, and they
correct.
Do a great
yeah, yeah.
work.
Correct. Correct.
But that would be the list, because we're just a competitive American Idol type of society, man, that puts a tag on success based on numbers, based on, you know, and honestly, it's those folks that are in the grind. I don't mind if you don't mind, I'll do a little plug. You know, my mom's, and I mean, people need to hear this too. My mom was, she just turned 82, but about 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I was sitting with her in New Jersey. That's right, New Jersey. Shout out for New Jersey. I'll never go back. Anyway, I was sitting with her, and she's like, you know, my time's done. I don't feel like there's anything, you know, for me to do at this point in my life. And, you know, we talked quite a bit about it. And, you know, I just told her she wasn't finished. She wasn't finished. And, you know, her and her friends, it's the craziest thing. They become the church ladies, but her and her friends, they're all 80 years old. And we help them to start up a ministry called Godmothers. And what they do is these little old ladies, they provide hygienic, I don't know, you know, you go to, I don't know what they call that. You know, you go to the store and the ladies are buying the woman's products.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? They're super expensive. And, they were able to start a ministry up through donations where they provide in South Jersey, to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women who can't afford it. Wow. All of those types of products for free while they come in. They do it once a month over a weekend. And when the women come in, they share the gospel with them. And my mom is more alive now at 82 than I can ever remember her being alive.
Wow.
Praise God. So you use the phrase, you helped them launch or discover this mission, right? Talk me through that process of sitting down with someone and them going from God's done with me, I've run my race, I'm ready for the finish line, to, man, I am still making a kingdom impact at this age. What was that process for you to go through with your mom on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if I have the answer other than God has made me a pretty weird guy, you know. And
amen.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
That's what our new tag should be, Known Legacy. It's the weird podcast.
It's the weird guys.
Anyway, sorry for cutting you off.
When I listen to people talk, and I think sometimes that's a lost art is to listen. And when I listen to people talk, you know, just what are they saying? And what is God saying to them? And being able to hear that. The weird part with me is that when I hear something and it makes sense, and I think I think all of us who are believers have this. It's just kind of under a rock sometimes. When it sounds like it's God speaking, it sounds like it's what somebody's equipped to do. When it's definitely matches up biblically, then what are we waiting for? I mean, what are we waiting for? What's to hold us back from doing it? And most people, it's like starting a Bible study. Bill, we've talked about this. We, you know, the ministry, we need Bible study facilitators, man. And people are like, I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah.
You have a Bible? Do you know how to read? Do you know how to talk? You know?
Can you ask
start
good questions?
A Bible study, man.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, man.
We almost like the enemy just has done a really good job of us hearing his voice so loud that we devalidate ourselves. Like, you're right. I'm a failure. I'll never get it. Like, I get that all the time. Even 100%. When we were talking about life groups at one of the churches I was at, they were like, people say, well, I'm not a good teacher. I'm like, well, I didn't ask that question. Do you love people? Do you love the word? Well, then just that's enough. you can actually shepherd people. And I think that's what we're forgetting. And so I think for people listening that are going, man, I just feel like I'm not smart enough. Well, there's enough resources out there that you can walk in this with just saying, like, here's the word of God, and then going, what do you think of that, guys?
Right.
And that being enough to start with.
And look at the legacy of who Jesus chose.
Yeah.
He didn't choose the scholars. He chose people who were willing to walk in humility and just follow.
Yeah, even like, said, like, just common follow. Ordinary men.
Yeah.
That literally turned the world upside down. Who are these men that are turning the world upside down of the way? And I'm going, I love that you talked about COVID. It's probably gonna be like beeped out every time we do it. Now we'll get like canceled. Beep, you know. And but I think that like every time that, you know, like when I'm seeing this hunger, and it drew a dark line of people going, I'm just not gonna do this anymore because it's all about smoke and lights in the show. And people are like, I'm just not gonna show up, and I'll sit in my bed for 8 months and watch this. And then there's other people going, time out. I am desperate for community. I'm desperate for someone to show up in my life.
Right.
And so I think it's caused a good line for people to go, either this is all true or it's all not. And thankfully we know that it's all true, and we're seeing that hunger from people. So I think if you're out there and you're going, I know this is true, then God has equipped you to do something incredible that he's not equipped anybody else. So if there's something in you, you need to go and do it. This is what Kelly's talking about. Just go and be faithful. And who cares? Because we're cheering you on.
Right.
But then also the Father is cheering you on and saying, just be faithful. If God's word's true and you know what, and it doesn't go against it, and he's calling you, go and do it.
Right. And I would say, and being faithful might be you invest in one guy that's on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he is ready to tap out of his marriage. He's ready to tap out of his career. He's ready to tap out of his life. And he's ready. And being faithful might be nothing more than just calling him and saying, hey, let's get a bourbon. Let's get a cigar. Let's just hang out in the backyard.
Yeah.
And just continue to invest in that one relationship,
yeah,
which could change generations to come.
Yeah.
That's being faithful. And that is, in the eyes of the King of Kings, that is rejoicing success.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, that when you speak to someone, you're not just speaking to them. You're speaking to their children and their grandchildren.
Yes, yes.
And we have forgotten the value that we are speaking into eternal beings forever.
Yeah.
They're either going to be eternally going to hell or eternally going to heaven. So the life we speak isn't just for right now. It's for eternity.
Eternity.
So I think that's what he's saying.
Hallelujah.
I think that's what I heard you say, Kelly. Man, you're an amazing man. You got some awesome wisdom on there. And so love it, man.
Well,
so
I appreciate that. You know, I want to say, hey, Bill, just real quick.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier on business, too. You said, you know, most businesses fail after 18 months, and most businesses end after 18 months. They don't fail.
They just end.
People quit when success, or that, you know, when God has a plan, and sometimes it just takes time, and it takes commitment, and it takes diligence. I don't know, man. I'm gonna start speaking Peter and James here in a minute, but you know, it takes it just takes diligence, it takes patience, it takes perseverance, and you know, it's right around the corner. There were a lot of folks saying that, you know, I just don't see Soldiers for Faith going anywhere, and that's okay. I mean, I get it, and I was okay if it didn't. I mean, I was okay if it didn't because of the impact that God, like you were just describing, with one person, I was okay with that. But if we would have quit, we would have missed what God had planned.
Yeah, the faithfulness.
The word that came to mind when you were talking about just that persistence that needs to happen is what John talks about when he's like, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says, I just want you to abide.
Yeah.
I need you to abide.
John 15, yeah.
Because in the midst of all of the chaos and in the midst of all the struggles and all the denials that you guys are going to have at the end of the day, just return back. I am the vine. You are the branch. Just be in that posture of abiding and let me go before you.
Yeah.
Let me prepare the way for you.
Yeah.
And just intimate and invest in that relationship and be amazed by what God does.
Almost like success is, am I abiding in Christ today?
Huh. Yeah.
And that's it.
If only he taught on that.
I know. If only that was it.
If only that was found throughout Scripture or something. You know?
If there was a place we could figure out there's some truth about that, maybe if we can look that up.
I mean, that's a New Testament. David didn't abide. I mean, all those Psalms that he wrote, that's not from abiding place, is it? No.
Well, but I love it. So I think,
Bill,
the other
battle, too, I think, is, you know, for the men out there who were married, you know, it isn't, you know, most of the time what I've seen is the wife, you know, our wives don't jump alongside and go, oh, this is great, another thing, you know, you're starting another thing, Kelly, you know, and there's, you know, and it's you know, so you're it's like a two front approach, because, you know, and that's most of the time at home. Most of the pastors I know that little battle going on sometimes at home you know, you're putting too much time into the church, you're putting too much time into this, you're putting too much time into that. What I've found is that's almost always the case for me. But when I'm obedient and I march forward, I do it in a way where I honor my wife at the end of the day, she has followed and has supported, and it took time, but we're in this together. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you don't have what you feel like support right up front, man. If God's calling you to do it, your wife will follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So serve her. Success is one flesh actually being one flesh and listening to what God said.
Right on. Huh.
And then being obedient to that.
Yeah. Only,
I love it.
If only,
man,
there was an ancient book that had something to say about that.
No, we'll figure it out. Yeah, well, if you guys find one out there, just let us know.
Kelly, this has been a fantastic conversation,
it's been
man.
Good, man.
Spoken
it's been
so
good.
Many good words, and I appreciate your time. If there happens to be a gentleman who's kind of wandering and wondering and is being sparked by this, give us a little pitch for you, your organization, and how they can get connected with you
do. Share.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's at soldiersforfaith.com. We have, I believe now, over 30 Bible studies a week. There's men's studies, there's women's studies, there's open studies. We have studies going on in Mozambique, the Congo, India. I believe there's another country we're in too. I can't remember. We have Spanish speaking Bible studies. We have Bible studies that are led by special needs people for special needs. I know the new term now was on the spectrum. I don't know. All I know is many folks that are considered the least of these are not. They are leading
Amen.
Their own studies. Those
Amen.
Studies are powerful and impactful, and the people that are on it are really responding to that. We have other things going on as well, but I encourage you just to go to the website, join a Bible study, find out what it's all about. And it's unique. It's hard to get people, Bill, Travis, Kyle, you guys, it's hard to get people to understand that picking up a phone and being on a study almost sounds like check the box, but you cannot believe the fellowship that's built in these studies, because you're not, I don't know, the three of us or the four of us, we get on the call, we're looking at each other, we're sizing each other up. It's what we do. You know, what kind of sneakers do you have on? What shirt you're wearing? What's the logo? When you're on the phone, all that goes away, man, and you're just talking heart to heart, and people are blown away by the impact and the fellowship that's developed through them. So we just encourage you to come and check it out.
Love it.
Check it out. I know that Kelly leads a study. I lead a study. Man, so there's some great studies out there. So please check them out. There's plenty for the ladies as well.
What's the website?
It is soldiersforfaith.com.
Soldiersforfaith.com.
So love it, man. Hey, we have another segment for you, brother, called Fast Five.
By the way, the market research has come in on this one. Everyone collectively says super cheesy, but keep it going. So
I know no one hates it.
No,
it's just cheesy.
Just cheesy.
It's like dad jokes.
No one wants
them to be gone. Yeah. They're all there. So Kelly, question number one: who do you most admire and why?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to call these two guys out by name, man. The one guy is I'm blessed to work with them. They would say they work for me, but we work together. The first guy is Tim Glasson. He's right there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah. We had lunch Texas. With him. Yeah, good guy. Good guy.
Yeah, and Tim is Tim does everything, man. He is just an unbelievable guy. He also works for me in the business that I'm in, and he does whatever it takes without question. Works harder, as hard as anybody I know, and does it without fanfare. I mean, there's a quote, you guys probably heard it, that Ronald Reagan used to have the plaque on his desk. It says, there's no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And Tim represents that. That's another awesome guy, Dan Cody, works for me in business, and same thing, man. The guy is unbelievable in their heart to help people, to serve. They're unbelievably talented. They could be at the top. They don't care. They do whatever it takes in the positions they're in, and they do it with excellence, and they do it without any fanfare and with complete humility. I admire both of those guys greatly. I get a lot of credit, and I don't do nothing. You know, these guys are like, they're you know, they're the stuff, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, number two, where would you like to take your family on vacation?
Yeah, you know what? Thinking about that one, that's a good one, man. There's you can buy caves for your house in Missouri. I actually saw one of them, man.
And really?
This one will tie to a little bit of the provocative nature, but I'd love to have my family live in a cave for like a family vacation. And the reason is, I'm telling you, man, you got all of these cabal people building their bunkers. Mark Zuckerberg, all these others, they're building their.
Yeah.
You guys might get kicked off YouTube and Facebook after this, but they, you know, they're all building these. They're all building these 50,000-foot, you know, bunkers, and you know, and I've heard my kids, my oldest boy, my boys, not the grandkids, but they're all like, "Hey, man, we should have a bunker." I'd love to go on a vacation in one of those, because in my mind, the bunkers that people are building underground, that's where they belong. Our bunkers build above.
That's
and
awesome.
I want my kids to see what it would be like in the dark underground. It's our, you know, we need to set our sights on things above. So I think that would be
that's awesome. Awesome. Salt and light. That's awesome.
Life-changing vacation. I don't know if my wife would like that idea.
Dude, how about him taking a simple vacation question and turning it into an entire homily? Well
exactly.
Done. Well done.
That was
well
good.
Done.
That was good. We're only on number two, and I'm already like writing down notes and stuff. So, number three, what are you currently reading, whether it's the Bible or another book?
I'm always reading other books, but right now in the Bible, I'm kind of going through Genesis 29 through 39, really, really digging in on the life of Judah. It's amazing how many times we read the book of Genesis and we get appropriately so wrapped up in Abraham and Jacob and Esau and Isaac and, you know, and Joseph, but we skip right over Judah, and it's an incredible lesson of God's promise, in spite of the fact that Judah struggles and fails, yet as he matures, really you could see that change in him where he turns to God and the promise that his father gave him and the blessing comes to fruition, where, you know, the best part of Israel was named after him. He's the, you know, the great, 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 great father of Jesus, King David, the whole works, you know, so just unbelievable. Yep.
Nice.
And then on the book side, I'm reading the Nefarious plot. I'm sure you guys know the movie Nefarious.
Yes, 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 yes. Steve Dace is he's legit, man. That dude's legit.
Yeah.
I love that.
Cool book.
Okay, what is your goal? What is the goal that you have for this year?
Yeah, I just want to be more the man God has called me to be. I know that's a cheesy Christian answer, you know.
I don't think so after this conversation.
No, that's not cheesy after this conversation. No one's going to go, cop out.
Yeah, no, that was good. I love that. I love that. Okay, last one.
I'm telling you, man, we all struggle.
Yeah, in the journey. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Number five, the most impactful piece of advice that you've ever been given.
That's a good one.
Yeah, years ago, I was in an AA meeting, and I had big problems with alcohol and drugs and all that, but I'm in an AA meeting, and this guy told me a story because somebody had complimented me, and I was like, nah, thank you. You don't have to do that. And this guy comes up to me and said, he was a guy who lived on the streets. He was homeless for about 15 years, and he got sober, and his life got better, and married a woman. They went to London on a trip to see some friends. And he said when they got there, the friends had had gifts for them. And his wife took the gift and embraced it and thanked him. And he said, you shouldn't have done that, man. You know, we came, we visited you. We should be the ones bringing gifts and all that. And what he said was his wife was smiling. He was smiling. When they went to their room, his wife unloaded on him. And she said, how dare you take away the joy of somebody offering you a gift or offering you praise? And it changed me when people offer a gift, people offer gratitude. That's their gift to us.
Wow.
And we need to be grateful for that. Not the no, you know, all glory to God, all glory to God. You know, of course, all glory to God. But,
yeah.
You know, but hey, thank you so much that you would consider me and do or say what you're saying.
I love it.
That was it, man. That was a big
good wisdom.
Me,
good wisdom on that. Good wisdom, man. Thank you for today. This was good. Why, brother?
So next week we're gonna have Kelly back on.
Exactly. I'm like,
and it's gonna become the Known Legacy Kelly Cup podcast, and we're just gonna be the two dopes that set it up. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
We'll just
man.
Press play, and you just start. Okay, man. This was great. So, dude, thank you so much for being willing to be back on today. I really do mean that, and hopefully that is a gift to you, honestly, because your ministry has had an impact in my life. And guys, ladies and guys out there, if you're looking for a place to connect, this is the place. I know that I'm on one of the Bible studies, and some of the ladies in these groups have literally traveled and done like concerts together, and they have their own text chain, and they
right,
just connect.
Right.
And so if you're lonely, you don't have to be. And one way to do that is to jump on soldiersforfaith.com and join one of those studies.
Love it.
And the only thing stopping you is the enemy. And so, man, God's got big plans for you. Kelly, thank you for your faithfulness
Thanks,
of 10
brother.
Years of silence.
That seemed
silence. But, man, thank you that you stayed faithful to what true success looked like. And so, man, again, soldiersforfaith.com. Check them out. Kelly, thanks for being on today. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, as always, check us out at knownlegacy.org, Facebook, Instagram. I think we have a YouTube channel. And you can email us at info@knownlegacy.org for comments, questions, concerns,
yeah.
and or recipes. We'll take recipes. Why
yeah,
not?
Or it's coming up to apple cider donut season again, so just going to throw that out
we'll
there
We'll share our
well.
Address with you if
exactly,
you throw
exactly.
us any.
Thanks for listening today, guys. Subscribe where you subscribe and share this with your friends.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.